My name is Keith Cowart, lead pastor of Christ Community, and each week I or one of our pastors will bring a message that we pray will stir your heart. We believe that God is the source of life and truth and that His Word is one of the primary means through which we make that vital connection with God. It's our hope that whether you're already a believer or just beginning to open your heart to God, that the truth of His Word would point you to Him. He came that you would have life and that more abundantly. I'm going to ask you to take out your Bibles and turn with me to John 10. We are working through the Gospel of John. And in John 10, beginning in verse 1, this is a short passage. We're going to spend this is one of the great, great passages, great chapters of the Gospel of John. And we're going to spend a couple of weeks on it. So let me just read the first 10 verses this morning. I tell you the truth. The man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate but climbs in some other way is a thief and a robber. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls out his sheep by name and he leads them out. When he has brought out all of his own, he goes on ahead of them and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but they didn't understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. All who ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out, and he will find pasture. The thief comes only to steal, to kill, and destroy. But I have come that you might have life and have it to the full. My guess is you probably recognize that last verse, John 10:10. But I wanted you to see the full context. And as we come into this is actually the only parable in the entire Gospel of John. Matthew, Mark, and Luke have lots and lots of parables, but this is the only parable in the entire Gospel of John. And Jesus uses for this illustrative teaching the metaphors of shepherds and sheep. Now, why would he use those metaphors? Because it was such a central part of their life in the first century. Palestinians as well as Jews. I mean, almost every family had at least a few sheep, and most of them made their living or sustained their life through the care of sheep. So everybody knew about shepherds and sheep. And so Jesus used this. I mean, typically the sheep was meant to represent humanity. Actually, most of the time, it represents not just all of humanity, but specifically the people of God, the Jewish people. The shepherd might represent priests and overseers, but also the shepherd represented God himself. For example, a passage that you may know, Psalm 103 says this, Know that the Lord is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people, the sheep of his pasture. So this is a very common image that was used in Scripture to talk about our relationship to God. Now, I want to tell you, there was a time in my life where I was a little bit offended by that comparison. I don't know if you understand this, but sheep are among the dumbest animals on the face of the earth. When God was passing out intelligence at creation, the sheep obviously lost their way and came up on the short end of the stick. I mean, sheep are just dumb animals. I mean, I don't mean to be over, so you probably love sheep, but they're just not very smart. Sheep are notoriously challenged when it comes to finding food. You can see this sheep has completely lost his way trying to find food. They're such creatures of habit. They will walk the same path every day, and as soon as their pasture is eaten up, they'll just keep walking the same path. Even though there's a brand new pasture yards away, they won't find it. They'll just go there. Sheep are both timid and stubborn. There are times where you can't get a sheep to move for anything, and then there are times where the least little thing will cause one to jump and all the rest will follow and a panic ensues. I mean, this is just the way sheep are. Sheep are pretty helpless. This next slide, this is a real issue here. This is called a cast sheep. Now, here's what you need to know about a sheep. I mean, sheep are kind of round to start with, right? So they roll kind of like a ball. Well, when they get lots of wool, they get heavy. And if a sheep lies down and accidentally leans over a little too far, he will get to the point where he can't get his feet under him and he can't get up. He will keep trying and trying. He eventually ends up just like this. And this is the truth. That sheep will die there unless somebody comes and picks him up and turns him over. Sheep are completely helpless. They're completely defenseless. I mean, you know, you think about a sheep, and they're too slow to outrun a predator, right? They don't have any claws or teeth or even a growl to frighten a predator. They're not camouflaged, so they can't hide from a predator. I mean, the truth of the matter is sheep would be extinct if it were not for shepherds. They're just helpless. They're helpless. They're not very smart. Now, again, you know, in the end, I don't think that's why God chose this image. Though I will tell you that the older I get, the less offended I get, the more I realize, okay, maybe we really are a whole lot like sheep. But I don't think that's why God chose this image. I think the real reason God chose this image to give us a picture of ourselves in relation to Him is that we were made by God to be dependent on another. God did not create us to be self-sufficient. He didn't create us to be independent. He created us to belong to another and to be led by another. That's the way He created you and me. And here's what that means. That means that the God of creation has written into your soul and mine this deep, deep understanding that we need another to lead us. We need another to lead us. And that means that ultimately we will all follow something or someone. But the way you were created means that you're going to follow something or someone in life. The real question is, what are you going to follow? Which shepherd will you follow? That is the question. And we see right off the bat in this passage, in the very beginning, that the first thing that Jesus deals with is the fact that there are good shepherds or true shepherds, and there are false shepherds. Jesus says that the true shepherd will come into the fold through the gate. He will come into the fold through the gate because he has a right to do so. He owns the sheep. The sheep belong to him. So there's no need for him to hide. He just comes right in through the gate. But there are other shepherds who will try to come in from either over the wall or through a hole. The very fact that they're trying to sneak in demonstrates that they have bad intentions for the sheep. So there are true shepherds, and then there are false shepherds. Now, immediately the question arises, well, who are these false shepherds, or who is the false shepherd? Can I just tell you that for most of my life, whenever I have read these verses, especially John 10:10, I have almost always thought of the thief as Satan. I mean, that's just always been what I thought about when I read that verse. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that you might have life. But can I tell you that when you look at this in context, that's not exactly who Jesus was talking about. Now, there is still truth in it, because we understand that ultimately Satan is the father of lies, and he is the father of all who are false. But Jesus had in mind a specific group of people, and we've actually been talking about them for the last several weeks. I'm talking about the scribes and the Pharisees. Jesus was saying that there are those who would claim to have knowledge, who would claim to have understanding, who will lead you astray. Those are false shepherds. Those are false shepherds. He's really saying here what God himself said through the prophet Ezekiel in chapter 34. This is what he says. God's message came to me, "Son of man, prophesy against the shepherd leaders of Israel Yes, prophesy. Tell those shepherds, God the Master says, doom to you shepherds of Israel, feeding your own mouths. Aren't shepherds supposed to feed sheep? You drink the milk. You make the clothes. You make clothes from the wool. You roast the lambs, but you don't feed the sheep. You don't build up the weak ones. You don't heal the sick. You don't doctor the injured. You don't go after the strays. You don't look after the lost. You bully and badger them. And now they're scattered every which way because there was no shepherd. Scattered and easy pickings for wolves and coyotes. Scattered my sheep, exposed and vulnerable across mountains and hills. My sheep scattered all over the world and no one looking for them. This is exactly what Jesus is actually talking about. He's saying there are false shepherds. And I want to tell you, as a pastor, as one who has been called to the vocation of a pastor shepherd, under shepherd for sure, but still having that calling, it's a convicting call. It's a reminder that those of us who are called to pastor are called to a life for the benefit of others. And I wanted to just say very quickly here that there's great application for us today. I mean, the truth is there are pastors who pastor in a way that reflects the heart of God, and there are pastors who do not. And I understand that some of you are here this morning in spite of the fact that you've been hurt, you've been misled, you've been damaged in some way by people who should have been feeding you and nourishing you and leading you to the Father. I say this very humbly, and I ask for your prayers, because we, as your pastors, need your prayers to be able to lead in ways that lead you to the true shepherd. And can I just say, by the way, if we were to continue reading in Ezekiel 34, I love what God says. God says, these shepherds have treated you this way, but now I'm going to be your shepherd. I will be your shepherd. I will look after you, and I will keep you safe in me. And I just want you to understand this morning, if you have been there, that you have a true shepherd. And he is here. Please don't let the failure of earthly shepherds taint you to the truth and reality of the true shepherd. He is ready to lead you. Please pray for us as well. Now I will say this. When it comes to church sheep, there is such a thing as killer sheep. And these sheep have some mean teeth, I'm going to tell you. But that's a message for another day. We won't go there today. That's a whole different message. Jesus was focused on the shepherds, and I want to stay there as well. Jesus says, by contrast, there is a true shepherd. Now, you might conjecture there that Jesus was saying there are overseers who are good. Certainly, that would have been true. But I do believe, when you look at the full context of this chapter, that there's no question Jesus is talking about himself. He is the true shepherd. There may be many shepherds that are good, but he is the true shepherd. And what does he tell us here about the relationship of the sheep to the true shepherd? He says, first of all, and I love this, that the shepherd knows his sheep. The shepherd knows his sheep. Now, it's important for you to understand that at the time Jesus told this story, that there were many, I mean, pretty much everybody had sheep in their family. And most of the flocks were not very large. Most shepherds only oversaw a few dozen sheep. And so it really was possible for the shepherds to know their sheep individually. Now, you may be thinking, but they probably didn't keep them very long, right? That they used a few for meat, but the truth is their wool and their milk was so valuable, they typically did not eat them for meat. They kept them for years and years and years. So these shepherds would truly get to know these sheep on a personal level. In fact, they would give them their own unique names. I don't know about you, but I remember when I was a kid, we had pets. You know, we had dogs, and my dad was a dog lover, so he always named our dogs. But we always had some cats that just hung around the house. And my dad did not like cats. He was not a cat lover. So he never named a cat. So I got to name the cats, you know, as the oldest child. And, you know, I would typically name them by some body part, you know, or some physical characteristic, you know. There's one that was Mittens because he had feet that were a different color than the rest of his body. That's about as creative as it got. Most of our cats were like BK, YK, and WK, Black Kitty, Yellow Kitty, and White Kitty. That's pretty much the way we named our cats. And shepherds did something similar with their sheep. You know, they would name one long nose or one curly tail or one black ear. These were pet names. And what it exhibits is a familiarity and an intimacy that the shepherd has for the sheep. And Jesus is telling us here that you need to know that God knows you by name. Now, God has a big flock, and God is over all people, but I want you to understand that God knows you by name. I love Psalm 139, the first four verses, which say, "Oh Lord, you have searched me, and you know me. You know when I sit, when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord." Beloved, you have a shepherd who knows you by name. And he goes on to say that his sheep know him. His sheep know him. Again, this is very much, anybody that's ever dealt with sheep understand this. But a sheep knows the voice of his specific shepherd. In fact, that sheep knows the voice of the shepherd so well that in Jesus' day, and actually still today in many places, that most of the time there's not like a pen for every flock of sheep. There are usually a few very large pens in a small village, and all of the shepherds will come and lead all of their sheep into the same fold. Now you may think, well, that's crazy. I mean, now you've got 100 or 200 sheep and they belong to 10 or 12 different shepherds. What happens in the morning when they come to get them? It's an amazing thing. And here's what happens. The shepherd walks through the gate, and the shepherd simply begins to call out in his call, his unique call for his sheep. And you know what happens? All over the pen, that shepherd's sheep begin to walk through the crowd and follow him out the door, and all the rest of them stay right where they are. It's an amazing thing. But their sheep know their voice. And beloved, this is just a reminder to us that God wants to speak to us. God wants us to know that he has a voice. We begin, you know, in kindergarten, in first grade, to learn what his voice is like by reading his word. But I want to tell you that as we get older and more mature in the faith, God desires to speak to us both through his word and by his spirit. When we pray, God does not want us to pray as though it were a monologue with us bringing the message to him. God wants prayer to be a dialogue where God speaks to us and we respond, and we speak to God and he responds. This is the way of a sheep to its shepherd. The shepherd knows his sheep, and the sheep know his voice. And then lastly, Jesus said his sheep will follow him. His sheep will follow him. And again, this is exactly what happens with real sheep. When the shepherd comes in and he calls to them, they will come out and they will follow him wherever he leads. Now, it's really interesting that a lot of people try to trick the sheep. Just as kind of, I don't mean in a mean way, but just as a joke. They'll come in and they'll actually put on the clothing of the shepherd and carry the shepherd's staff so that on the outside, they look exactly like the shepherd. But the shepherd will tell you that even if you look like him, the only voice they know is the voice of their shepherd. And they absolutely will not follow any other shepherd. But when their shepherd speaks, they follow. They have come to trust him completely. They have come to understand that their shepherd will lead them to that which they need. They follow him. Now, verse 6 says that many of those who heard him could not understand what he was saying, probably because they didn't want to. So Jesus gives it another shot. And he says in verse 7 something really interesting. He says here, "I am the gate for the sheep." Now, on the surface of it, it almost sounds like Jesus is kind of mixing his metaphors. I mean, on the one hand, he has said, I am the shepherd, but now he's saying, I am the gate for the sheep. In some ways, that seems like two completely different things until you understand the way shepherds did things in Jesus' day. G. Campbell Morgan is a name that some of you may know. He is one of the greatest preachers of the late 1800s and early 1900s. And there was a point where Morgan was traveling across the Atlantic by ship. And on the ship was a man named Sir George Smith. And Sir George Smith was the greatest Old Testament scholar of the day. You can imagine how this great preacher and this great Old Testament scholar must have gotten along and shared stories. And he tells about one story that Sir George told him that happened when he was in the Middle East. He said his guide took him to a place where sheep and shepherds were, and he got into a conversation with a shepherd. And the shepherd said, well, come, let me show you the fold. And so he took him to the fold, and he walked in, and it had four walls, and there was an opening where they came through. And the shepherd said, now the sheep will come in here at night, and they will be completely safe. And Sir George said, but wait a second, where's the door? That's just an opening. There's no door. How can they be safe if there's no door to keep bad things out? And what's going to keep them from wandering out in the middle of the night? And the shepherd said to him, I am the door. And he said, what do you mean by that? What do you mean you are the door? He said, at night, when the lights go out, I lie down and I make my bed in the doorway. And so nothing can leave unless it goes over me, and nothing gets in unless it comes over me. I am the door. That's exactly what Jesus was saying here. He says, yes, I'm the shepherd, but I'm also the door. I stand there at the gate, and only those who come through me get in. And only when I lead them out do they leave. It's a powerful reminder that Jesus is what he says in John 14. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is saying here that no one can come to the Father except through him. He is the gate. That's a hard word, honestly, in our society, where we live in a world that has been shaped so much by pluralism. And the idea here is that all truth is relative. All roads ultimately lead to heaven. Jesus is saying that is absolutely false. That message is coming from false shepherds. He said there are false shepherds who would want you to believe that you can live anyway, and it really doesn't matter as long as you pursue some truth. Jesus says there is only one way to salvation, and that is through him. He goes on to say that expressly. He says, here's what happens for those who come through him. First of all, they are saved. They are saved from eternal death. They are saved from eternal punishment. But they are also safe from thieves and robbers. They are safe from those who would do them harm. It doesn't mean that they won't encounter danger or that they won't even suffer, but ultimately that their eternal destiny is in his hands and they are safe. Secondly, they go in and they go out. They go in and they go out. That means that under the care of the shepherd, the sheep are free to move in and to move out. This takes us back two chapters to where Jesus said, if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. Beloved, you were not created to live your life in the confines of a pen. You were made to live your life under the care and direction of a shepherd who will lead you to life. But within his care and within his guidance, we are free to live life to the full. We are free to go in, we are free to come out. And then lastly, they find pasture. They find pasture. Now, we're going to dig into that more next week. Next week, we're going to talk about Jesus as the good shepherd. We're actually probably going to look at Psalm 23 as well. And we will see there that God knows our needs, and he will lead us in ways that meet all of our deepest needs. We know that he cares, and he provides for all of our needs. This morning, however, the focus is Jesus as the true shepherd. Jesus as the true shepherd. The one who will lead us to life and that more abundantly. I think about another place where Jesus speaks of us as sheep in Matthew 9, 35 and 36. This is what he says. Jesus went through all the towns and their villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. I wonder this morning if there is anyone here who can relate to that. If there's anyone here this morning who would say, you know, I'm just tired. I'm weary. I'm worn out. I'm harassed. I feel helpless. I feel hopeless. I want you to hear this morning that there is a shepherd who sees. There is a shepherd who knows. And there is a shepherd who longs to come to you and to lead you to life. I mean, that's what it takes us right into to John 10:10, one of the great, great passages of the Bible. The thief comes to steal and kill and destroy. But I have come that you might have life and have it to the full. And right there we end in the very place that we began. At the beginning and at the end, Jesus says there are false shepherds and there is a true shepherd. The question this morning is, which one have you been following? And more importantly, which one will you follow? Which one will you follow? I'm going to ask our worship team to come, and they're going to lead us for just a moment in a song of worship. You know, I really want us to understand that God is here this morning. And he's saying this, I want to be your shepherd. I created you to need me. I created you to live under my care. Can we just stand and embrace that truth? Can we stand and sing and worship a song that proclaims that truth? Let's sing it with confidence. Let's sing it with understanding. Let's acknowledge our deep need for God as our shepherd.
Lord, I come, I confess, bowing here, I find my rest. Without you, I fall. When temptation comes my way.
Team to come and prepare the elements. We're going to give you a moment now to respond however you need to do that. I do want to say this morning that if there's anyone here who knows in your heart and your soul that you're a lost sheep, that you've been wandering, looking for the way, that you've been following false shepherds, I want you to know that today, this day can be the day of salvation. And today you can come and pray, and the Lord will claim you as his own. There will be people here who are ready to pray for you. You may have other needs. Maybe you are weary and you're worn out, and you just need someone to pray with you that you could stand in the grace of his love and his commitment to you. Would you just come and lift your hand, and someone will be glad to pray with you. We want to invite all of you who will to come and share in Holy Communion. Just come remembering that he is the good shepherd who laid his life down for his sheep. Take a piece of the bread and dip it in the juice. Remember his blood that was shed for you. Come and celebrate his offering of salvation. Would you just come now whenever you're ready, and however you choose to respond. Let's take these last moments to respond in worship and in prayer.